We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Saints linebacker DeMario Davis joining us now. DeMario, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
What's going on? What's going on, Bobby Christian? Thanks for having me on, man.
You bet. So what's this offseason been like with this pandemic, man, and dealing with it from a perspective of, hey, you know, a season is eventually coming at some point?
Well, I'm the type of guy that, you know, I always take it as you want to make sure that you stay ready. That way you don't have to get ready. And so even with the pandemic hitting, it didn't do too much to throw off the way I train and get ready for a season. I think it helped in the fact that I get to spend more time with my family, my wife, my kids. But as far as training goes, I do a lot of individual training and custom workouts and drills and whatnot anyways. And so this actually works to my advantage, except for the time I don't get with the team.
Now, DeMario, are you pleased with the Saints and the organization, especially the ownership and Ms. Gail Benson, when she made a statement that statements are words, that unified action towards a solution is what needs to come from this now? And what I'm talking about, obviously, looking at what happened with George Floyd, is obviously catching it. It's in nationwide, and what we're dealing with is that almost enough? I thought it was interesting what you said, that we have to look for a solution, and that maybe reforming hiring practices at police departments, taking more care at the beginning of the process to prevent people with inherent bias from joining the force, the police force in the first place, could be a major part across the country. And so that you don't have those bad apples that aren't going about things the right way and going forward, because you could say nice words and everything, but you got to let, you know, like you always say as a player, you got to let your play do the talking. So going forward, I think where we're at, don't we have to have actions and go beyond words and look for solutions going forward?
Yeah, Bobby, I think you hit the nail on the head. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the Saints organization. I think they do a good job of leading from the front and providing a model for the rest of the league of how organizations can be involved in their city. Ever since I've been here, I've noticed nothing but Ms. Gale being attentive to the needs of the community and trying to respond in a rapid and positive and resourceful way, you know, not just with this incident. You know, we just got through the pandemic, and, you know, the Saints were in the trenches right away and helping the community, whether it was food or shelter or, you know, any type of need that were going on. The Saints were very visible in helping both the first responders and the people who were affected. And, you know, so you've seen that. And even in social justice issue, in the social justice arena, when me and Benjamin Watson came to the team and started working in the community, the Saints organization and Ms. Benson herself were right there with us. And so I wouldn't expect anything else but a first-class response. And, you know, you're right. You know, the Saints did it the right way because they're leading with action, you know. And so, and I think the first action anywhere is to be informed about what's going on. And, you know, to say we're going to build a leadership council to figure out what the problems are, you know, and if there are any problems locally that we can be working towards and using our resources for, That's leadership in itself, because the first action has to be understand what the problem is locally. So we're looking at a national problem, right, with police policing, the way that we police in America, and especially how that affects black people who are being killed at an alarming rate. That's a national issue. Racism is a national issue. And it's finding out how do we go about, you know, weeding out the bad apples, because that's really the problem. The bad apples and the people who ignore the bad apples, right? So finding out who those people are and weeding them out of our system, you know, and making sure that those people aren't able to negatively impact our culture. And the first way you do that on a local level is to be informed about what's going on. And all those issues are going to look different. And the way that you go about it, whether it's the hiring process, whether it's their ability to stop people and pull people over for, you know, non-serious offenses such as, you know, a broken taillight or failing the signal, all these things that end up leading to people are being harassed and sometimes killed. You know, like Eric Garner, who was, you know, the police rolled up on him because he was selling cigarettes. That's a non-serious offense. Or when mental ill people are killed when you could have sent a social worker to deal with that person versus a police officer. And so, like, it's depending on the area. And then some are protected by, you know, very powerful police unions. And in those areas, you know, and I'm all about American labor unions, but some of those police unions are the reason why some of these police officers aren't convicted. So every area, every city is going to have different issues that need to be worked on. But if you can take influential figures such as players and powerful organizations and resources such as the Saints and bring them together to bring in different activists or advocacy groups and hear what the problems are of the people, and those advocacy groups, what I've learned is they have a ton of solutions. They just aren't being heard by the right people. And when powerful groups like the Saints and players with tremendous voices come in and take those same solutions that advocacy groups have been championing for years, those are the solutions that are able to be implemented quickly and make cities and states better. And that's what we want to be about, is creating solutions. And so I applaud the Saints organization for being a model to other market cities on how to have real change.
Now, you know, DeMario, when you look at going forward, and it's almost like, you know, who you associated with, that almost from a federal perspective, don't you have to have an outside influence instead of the local DA or district attorneys, whether it was in Georgia or whether it's in Minnesota, whatever it might be, that you can't have no bias or you can't have no local influence that might hinder you to get to justice, where you almost have to have an outside perspective that's going to get things done quickly and not swept under the rug, where it takes a few weeks, where something could be addressed from a federal perspective, and being able to have the communities and doing the right thing instead of maybe the relationships you might have with the local jurisdictions to be objective about the circumstance and be fair and justice will to prevail that way.
Actually, if you have to bring in an outside source with a non-biased opinion, then it's gone too far. It's gone too far. You know, you want to be in a position like the standard should be where communities can police themselves, and, you know, justice can be found from within. You know, when you have to take it to an outside party, it's because it's gone too far. Like the people were trying to cover it up or sweeping it under the rug. That's what we have to weed out the bad apples who have committed these atrocities and the people who were trying to cover it up. Now, to get to where we want to get to, it may be some situations where injustice is happening or happened, and we need to bring in some outside people. But the overall goal, that's why the power of voting, understanding who these elected officials are who are going into place, understand their history, because most of these bad apples don't have one or two offenses on their record. You know, they have multiple offenses. And I think that's where you see the people being fed up in the cries from the streets, is because this, you know, like the guy that did unfortunately murdered George Floyd, he had 17 offenses, you know, racial offenses on his record. and had never been penalized for it. So if any of those had been caught, we probably wouldn't be here. Also, this is not the first time that he had killed somebody in the line of duty. So if his history had been checked, or his background or action had been taken immediately, it wouldn't have gotten this far. And had that not been on video, who knows how long that would have been. You know, he would have continued, you know, being in the situation. You know, we're still looking at a justice system that hasn't arrested the other three people. So, you know, we're asking for peace to happen, and all of us want peace. And I think we all in America want peace and to be, you know, living in unity and harmony amongst one another. But the protests are going on currently, and three people still haven't even been arrested. How can we get to justice or peace when people are out there that people are asking to be arrested? And I think there's a consensus around this, not that, you know, people are on different ends of the fence about it. So we want to get to a place where we can police ourselves. And like when you look at New Orleans and Louisiana, though there are issues, it has for the most part right now been very peaceful there. And that's because there's a harmony and there's a peace and there's a sense of, you know, people working together towards, you know, getting it right. And that's what you have when you have entities such as the Saints and players working, trying to use their resources to fix the solutions. And that's what, you know, and bring a solution. And that's what you want, a city and a state working, the people who live there working, and the people and the city officials working to create a harmonious environment where all people are able to live, thrive, and in harmony with one another.
DeMario Davis, Saints linebacker here on the Community Coffee Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Go ahead, Bobby.
Now, DeMario, when you look at, obviously, you know, George Floyd and the tragic death, and everyone could see what came about. I mean, come on, there's no justice there. But then when you look at, isn't it somewhat taken away from the message? Now, I don't know how you could control vandalism and burning and looting and all that, but then you got outside influences that really they have their own agenda, whether they're going city to city, they're just anarchists, and the anti-capitalists, whatever it might be, and they could care less. They want the United States government to fail. Well, what is your take on that? Then all of a sudden, that is taken away from the protests, what are we protesting about? And it gets to the level where are they just taking advantage of that situation? Because then I think they're being opportunistic and not really – I'm not saying they could care less about George Floyd, but it just seems like they taking advantage of that situation to promote their agenda and not necessarily – they just for anarchy. And it could care less if the United States succeeds or not and just want chaos.
Yeah, I think we're living in a unique time where there's a general consensus and unity around, you know, what we have allowed, you know, systematic racism to last in our country for too long. And, you know, we need structural change, and we as a people are going to come together and demand that. And, you know, I think the people who are doing that peacefully, who are just, you know, standing in the streets, kneeling, you know, chanting, marching, just making it uncomfortable for city officials and saying, hey, we need to bring about change and do everything we can. I think that's where you see success in protest. Not necessarily peaceful protest, because all protests are going to be uncomfortable. When it's a bunch of people standing in the street, you know, that makes people who have the responsibility of getting those people off the street very uncomfortable. You know, that's the strength of a protest. But I definitely am against any type of looting and destruction. I think we all are and should be against the looting and the destruction, because then you become the very thing, you know, that you're protesting against. You're protesting, you know, this unjust violence. But the reason, you know, so we all need to play a part in making sure that the looting and the destruction doesn't distort the message of the protest. You know, but the protest, I think we all should be for. We all should be for the protesting and as many people in the streets as possible who are chanting, who are marching, who are kneeling, who are demanding change, because, you know, we as a people are united in that stance, and that's where we're strongest. And so, you know, to have real change, you want to be persistent. You know, because of persistence, if you knock at a door long enough persistently asking for change or demanding change and saying, hey, I'm not going away until you bring about change, the persistence becomes annoying, and annoyance eventually gets responded to. It's almost like a child who keeps asking you, can I have this, can I have this, can I have this, can I have this? After a while, you get tired of that child asking, can you have it? So you just give it to them so they'll leave you alone. And it's the same way. And that's where it is with the city officials. The protest needs to stay at the door of city officials saying, hey, there's injustice and racism, systematic racism that's been in our country for hundreds of years, and we're not going to accept that anymore. But we all need to be against, you know, the looters and the destroyers who could, you know, then turn the message to whatever else they want to turn it to. So we all need to be against that just as much as we are against the systematic racism and injustice that exists.
Saints linebacker DeMario Davis here on the Community Coffee Saints Hour. And DeMario, I'm not trying to get you off that track by any stretch, but I am interested in picking your brain on a few things, in particular the addition of Zach Bond at linebacker, the draft pick. What do you think he can do this year? How can he fit in?
I think he has a tremendous skill set from what I've seen in college, somebody who could, you know, be effective. Anytime you have a linebacker that can play downhill, get in the backfield, cause disruption, the run game, and can, you know, wreak havoc and getting towards the quarterback, he's going to stand, you know, he's going to have a great chance to mesh well in our defense. I know Coach Hodges and D.A. are going to do a good job at making sure that he can play inside and outside backer. They're going to make sure he's completely ready. I think the biggest thing for him is going to be come in, learn what to do, learn what they're asking, you know, asking him to do. He's a rookie, so they're not going to ask him to do too much, but learn what to do and, you know, then go and play lights out and play as fast. And we've seen, you know, young guys such as Chauncey come in and have a lot of success early in his defense. Marshawn came in, had an impact right away. Marcus Williams, Marcus Davenport. So you've had young guys come in and have an impact right away and, you know, minimal roles that became much larger. And I think I don't see any reason why he can't do that in helping our unit. We have a very strong linebacker room. We have a lot of veterans, Kiko Alonso, who's had, you know, a very successful career. Alex Lanzalone, who's a tremendous talent, can do it, is a do it all linebacker. Craig, another veteran linebacker. And Caden, who even, you know, had a strong beginning before he got injured last season. So we have a very strong room. So he'll come in and add more competition to that room and make us better.
Now, DeMario, we all know that the leader that you are on and off the field, and obviously a vocal leader, but you got to walk the talk. You got to be able to produce, so the players will just look at you just talking to be talking. But when you're leading the team, and total tackles, what do you need to improve on as an individual? It seems like D.A., the defensive coordinator, he'll put you in a number of positions to succeed. I said this earlier, it'd be a surprise if you don't hit that century mark and have over 100 tackles. But it seems like you're involved in the game plan as far as whether it's getting sacks or quarterback hurries, different stunts. Tackles for a loss, and obviously even your pass defenders. You have numbers up there amongst the defensive backs. But what do you need to do? Because you never stay the same. You're always trying to get better. What do you focus on to be the best you can be, DeMario Davis, for the 2020 season?
Yeah, I'm always trying to transform my game every offseason. I'm never trying to stay the game. I'm trying to increase my ability as the rate of the game changes, which is very rapidly. Every year, younger guys are coming in, you know, faster and stronger, making our game faster and stronger. And so I just try to stay ahead of the curve. And so, you know, I think, you know, my ceiling is still a far way off. You know, I have so much room to grow in my game in all my areas, in the run game, in the pass game, and the blitzing game. And I just feel like you know, my best football is ahead of me, and that's what I chase in the offseason. I attacked the little details to try to get better. But even bigger than myself, I think we have a real opportunity. I think talent-wise, we're among the best, if not the best, you know, have the best roster in the league, you know, having a lot of veterans returning, and our roster pretty much looks the same. And we have a very good opportunity of competing for a championship. And that's what our mindset is on, is getting to the Super Bowl. And I know for me, it's important that the defense plays at a high level. You know, this Drew and Sean and that offense have been putting explosive numbers up for years. And, you know, my heart in coming to the Saints was, man, if I could help Drew have an outstanding defense, it'll put us in position to win, you know, those games down the stretch and win a Super Bowl and put a ring on our fingers. And that's what I came here for. And I feel like we've been very close, very, very close, and it's time for us to get over the hump. And so that's where our mind is. You know, it's on competing for a championship and winning a championship, not later but now. And I think, you know, a big part of that is for us to go out and play outstanding defense. And I know a big part of that, it begins with me. And so that's the onus that I put on myself in the way that I train in the offseason.
DeMar, I got to talk to you about your kids, man. I can hear them in the background. What's it been like quarantining at home with them?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing to be here with the family. You know, my kids are amazing. You get a lot of time with my son. He's been working on his baseball swing. He's 4 years old, so we get to get some swings in every day. And, you know, my wife homeschools the kids, so I've helped relieve her duties a couple of days, and, you know, took over some of the schooling, and, you know, just spending time around the house. You know, I became an expert at doing laundry. when you have so much time, find little things to keep you busy, and it's been good. We got to spend a lot of time out here in our home in Nashville, and so it's been great. You know, I definitely want to take this time for granted. I always want to have more time with my family, because between the season and the off season, when, you know, doing a lot of the off the field things, you just get busy. You don't get as much time at home. And so I wanted to make the most of this time with the family during quarantine. And it's been great.
Now, DeMario, you're talking about the linebacking core, and you know, we always say this, to be held accountable, you have to be available. And I thought the one thing, A.J. Klein, now he's with the Buffalo Bills, that he brought stability there because he was available. And, you know, we talk about that. Can you answer the bell? It could be bad luck or whatever it might be. But when you look at the linebacking core, and I look at it, Alex Azzalone, boy, it seems like we have high expectations for him. And what is your take on him? Because to me, he's hell when he's well, but when he's going to be well, because he could play, but he just has to be healthy. Is it just bad luck or what? I think it's a great opportunity for Azzalone, considering that you don't have A.J. Klein now in the mix. So I'm looking for him to take a big step, and hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yeah, the first thing that when you meet Alex that stands out is his size and his athleticism. He's definitely a do-it-all linebacker, and I mean, he's a kid that I believe a guy that graduated high school and college with above 4.0 GPA. So he has it all. He has the intelligence, he has the size, he has the speed and agility, and he can do it all. He can rush the passer when he's been in. He's stacked up multiple sacks. He's flowing around and made tackles. He's intercepted balls. So you see, you know, his ability to be able to do it all. And, you know, I think this is a huge year for him to go and put that on display. You know, he certainly, when he's on the field, he makes our defense better. And I think it's a big year for him. And, you know, also in Kiko Alonso, I mean, to be able to get a trade like that and be able to grab a guy like him who's been phenomenal and made, you know, a tremendous amount of plays in this league. He's a machine, you know, forcing in the run game and the pass game. And he puts, you know, so much time into his film study. He has a crazy football IQ. And so having guys like that, you know, just it puts us in a great position when it comes down to the linebacker room. And so and then being able to draft a guy like Zach and have guys like Caden. It's one of the deepest linebacker rooms I've been in, you know, and also having veteran leadership and a special team balling, Craig. You know, it's a great locker room to be a part of. We got a great coach and Coach Hodges. So I'm looking forward and excited this year. I think as a room, we'll help our defense be better in 2020 than we were in 2019. And the sky's the limit for our defense.
Now, DeMario, when you look at also, they don't get the recognition, but I know as linebackers, you appreciate. Talking about the guys in the trenches, Sheldon Rankins, I think a lot like Kiko. I think even maybe – not Kiko, definitely I'm thinking of Azzalone. But Sheldon Rankins, as far as his health, boy, but it sure seemed like that David Onyemata, unsung hero, along with Malcolm Brown, all the dirty work that they do for the linebackers to have success.
Yeah, we've been blessed, man, to have an outstanding front. When you got David Onyemata, Malcolm, Sheldon, you know, anchoring the middle, and then you got guys like, you know, Cam, of course, who's been one of the best pass rushing guys in the league, and guys like Marcus and Trey, who are able to add to that. And even have, you know, a young guy like Shy who came in and was a force right away. I think that just goes to our organization and, you know, doing a good job in bringing in not just the best guys, but the right guys. So for us to be, you know, in the top, you know, 5-10 in the run defense, you know, for the past 2 years that I've been here, I know a big part of that has been the front. And I think what kind of goes under the radar is how well we're coached on defense. Ryan does a tremendous job with that defensive line. I get to spend time with him, and that's a big reason why I'm able to accumulate so many sacks since I've been here, is because I get to spend time with the defensive line. But probably the unsung hero on the defense is the coaching staff is Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn should be a defensive coordinator like last year. He is more than a defensive back coach. He has an eye for talent. He's a big reason why defense has been so successful. A lot of our top defensive backs who have had production consistently, like Marshawn and Marcus and Vaughn, who we end up losing. AG had a big part of – Coach Glenn had a big part of bringing those guys here and making sure, you know, they're here. You know, for me to be a force on the defense, I wouldn't have been a saint if it wasn't for Aaron Glenn. You know, he called me first and knew about me from my time at New York. And so for him to know, you know, to know talent, you know, not that the Saints didn't, you know what kind of player I was, but he was able to speak to my character and was a big reason in having them come. So for him to be able to eyeball talent and for him to help marry our defense all the way together, because linebackers and defensive backs have to be on the same page, he is like, you know, one of the best coaches there is. And so, you know, for us to be coached so well, that's why we're able to go out and produce at the rate that we're producing, you know, to move up from, you know, a top 10 defense to a top 5 defenses and have an opportunity to go improve at one of the best defenses in the league.
Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. DeMario, thanks so much for the time, and hopefully we'll talk to you in about 8 weeks or so when training camp gets underway. Thanks, man.
Hey, I appreciate you, man.
All right, take care.
All right, DeMario.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.